Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races!
Here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. We've got a Wednesday mailbag, and we've got three more episodes coming out this week. Just reaction to the NFL draft Thursday night, Friday night, and at some point on Saturday. That's to be determined, but we will be giving you our instant reaction to the NFL draft as it unfolds, and we are very, very excited, and we can't wait, but a little bit of a fantasy wet blanket yesterday. Melvin Gordon back to the Broncos. So that is going to be... Sorry, Melvin Gordon. We got to find that quote. We got to find that quote about fantasy football making everybody hate Melvin Gordon. From Melvin Gordon, by the way. Adam Azer, Dave Richard, and Heath Cummings here on this Wednesday morning. And let's take a look, guys. Let's take a look at our Twitter poll. And you can answer it. What round are you drafting Javonte Williams in now? Rounds 1 through 2? Round 3, round 4, round 5 or later. Heath, you believe you have the correct answer here.
I do have the correct answer. I was the first responder, and I did that thing that people do where they quote tweet their response as the final results and replied to you. Yeah, it's third round. And I think it's dominating the poll results. Now, there may be, listen, if what, 8%? Of the people think he's a second round pick, then that means there's one person in every league that's willing to take him in round two.
Right now it's 19%.
So there might be two to three people in each league who are willing to take him in round two. Now, whether they have the right pick to do that is another thing, but I think he's a round three pick. I put up a Twitter poll as well, asking people in full PPR whether they would rather have Williams, Saquon, or Nick Chubb. And he's behind Chubb and ahead of Saquon right now, but much closer to Saquon than Chubb.
Dave, round 1 through 2, round 3, round 4, round 5 or later for Javonte Williams.
My initial reaction was not to move him down that much. And so with the feeling that I still might move him down some more, we'll see how things go. It's a different coaching staff, and he's clearly the priority there. The commitment financially was made to him. They could cut Melvin. If he comes to camp and they just go, there's no point to having him. They could trade him if a team needs a running back badly enough. And I looked over the history of Nathaniel Hackett as a play caller. There's only been one time when he's actually been calling the plays where a running back has been able to put together a lot of 20-plus touch games. And that was when he had Leonard Fournette and really no one else in Jacksonville. And then he wore Fournette out. He was hurt by his second season. I think if Hackett believes that Javonte Williams is just an absolute monster, he could wear him out. He could give him plenty of games with 18-plus touches. And I'm kind of leaning toward that happening. And I'm starting to get the feeling that Javonte Williams could end up being a good fantasy bargain if you're getting him in round 3, because it's a different coaching staff from last year. I can't believe if they're going to do this 50-50 shtick all over again. And eventually I'm rather confident that eventually Melvin Gordon's going to fall off. Javonte will be there to step up. That's somebody who I wouldn't mind having in round 2.
Okay. I'm really going to great efforts to not be a jerk on the podcast as much as I used to be, but I have to stand up for Melvin Gordon here.
Go ahead. Give it to me.
In the history of signings that we've discussed on this podcast, has there ever been a time when a guy was signed one evening and the next morning we were speculated he might be cut when he gets to training camp?
Yes.
We don't know. Do we know the specifics? It's happened before on the podcast. Do we know the specifics of the contract yet? How much of it is guaranteed?
No idea.
Yeah. No, I think, yes, I feel like maybe LeSean McCoy but something like that when there's been a lot of depth, but not in a situation like this. Unless they draft a running back, I don't see how we could possibly think that they're cutting Melvin Gordon.
I think it's like
I don't think they're cutting Melvin Gordon.
To go like something else Dave said, I think
I just speak it into existence, please.
100% everybody's rooting for Dave that Melvin Gordon at 29 years old, it should be no surprise to anyone at all if he suffers an injury or if he falls off. But in fairness to Melvin Gordon, I think it's important to recognize that he showed absolutely no signs of that last year. He averaged 4.5 yards per carry, 4.6 over the last five games of the season. I tweeted this out earlier. Javonte Williams had that monster game in week 13. Melvin Gordon came back the next week. And for the final 5 weeks of the season, after Javonte Williams' monster performance, Gordon saw more carries per game than Williams. They were almost tied in targets. Williams saw a couple more than Gordon. And Gordon averaged like 15 more yards per game than Javonte Williams. He was far more efficient down the stretch than Javonte Williams was in the same offense. So I wasn't a dumb coaching staff. Melvin Gordon was better than Javonte Williams in the final month of the season last year. It would have been
they did a nice job. They did a nice job taking work off of Javonte Williams so that he can eventually break out. What round are you taking Melvin Gordon in, Heath?
That one's more difficult because he came out around RB36 in my projections. But I think you like the argument I've made for Kareem Hunt in the past in that role. He is probably a Javonte Williams injury away from being a top 12 running back again. Gordon is.
Sure.
And yeah. So I would understand drafting him ahead of where the projections would say you should, but I would say he's going to be somewhere in the round six-ish range.
You said he was better than Javonte Williams down the stretch. I think if you look at the entire season, it's pretty remarkable how evenly matched they were.
Almost.
Right? Yeah, it was almost 50-50.
Same amount of, but not just the touches, but same amount of carries. I think they were separated by 15 rushing yards, pretty similar yards per, almost identical yards per carry. They had the same amount of carries inside the 10. They had the same amount of carries inside the 5. And if you're wondering, there was the one game that Gordon didn't play. Javonte had one carry inside the 10 and none inside the 5. So even if you tick that game out, basically the same amount of carries inside the 10 and inside the 5-yard line. Gordon was a lot more successful in those scenarios. I've studied that stat year after year, and it is not predictive. So I don't think that means that Gordon would necessarily be more successful there this year. Looking at the advanced stats, they're fairly similar there. I think Javonte Williams did come out a little bit higher in some of the like true media and PFF advanced stats. But in terms of percentage of 5+ yard carries, percentage of 12+ yard carries, they were basically back to back. So Gordon really did have a very good year. You have to wonder why nobody, I don't know if I should say nobody wanted him, but why there wasn't a market for him. He is 29, and I did notice that DeMarco Murray and LeSean McCoy, age 29, that's when it got bad. That was the last, and age 28 was great for both of them, and then age 29 was not even close. So I was like, oh, maybe that Melvin Gordon could just be really bad. But Mark Ingram had a great age 29 season, had a great age 30 season. So it's not, and there was one other guy who had a pretty good age 29 season.
Well, doesn't it come down to opportunity too?
Like, not necessarily, because I mean, DeMarco Murray and LeSean McCoy, they had their opportunities. They just kind of started to fall off the cliff at age 29. It's a tough year for running backs. Not a lot of good 29-year-old running backs.
I want to agree with Dave again, but just kind of show, I think, the range. Because I do think Javonte Williams is going to get a larger percentage of the work this year than he did last year. That's what I'm projecting.
I hope so. Yep.
I do think that he will be more productive on a fantasy points per game basis this year than he was last year. But there's a pretty big gap from what he was last year to getting into the top 12 discussion. He was RB27 per game last year, basically tied with Rashad Penny and Chase Edmonds. Behind Melvin Gordon, and that includes the game where Gordon didn't play. He was obviously significantly worse if you take that game out. So he can improve quite a bit, a couple fantasy points per game, and still be a mid-range number two running back.
So I think it's worth comparing this backfield now to the Packers and the Browns, right? I mean, I think Aaron Jones, sure. Nick Chubb, and Javonte Williams will probably be drafted similarly. And then our Kareem Hunt, AJ Dillon, and Melvin Gordon. I do feel like Gordon's going to be dead last in that group. But you know, what do you think, Heath? Is that a fair comparison to look at those three backfields as pretty similar?
I have Williams and Chubb. The reason I chose those names for who I was comparing is because they're all close. I have Williams and Chubb basically identical in terms of fantasy projection. I do, as the teams are currently constructed, expect a larger role in the passing game for Aaron Jones than either of them. And so in full PPR, I strongly prefer Jones to those two. Now, if the Packers go and draft two wide receivers and really go after it in round one and round two, then maybe I'll change his target share a little bit. But he's just shown us a lot more in the passing game. So I think in PPR, it's him. Yeah, in as far as the secondary backs, I would rank it Hunt, Dillon, and Gordon. But I get the impression from the way people are talking about it that Gordon will be the best value of those three.
And Dave, what do you think of when you look at those three backfields, Cleveland, Denver, Green Bay?
I think Javonte's got the most upside. I'm not going to back down from this. I think that he's got a lot more room to grow statistically than what we had last year from him. He talked about where he could improve his per game basis and be a mid-range RB2. He could still be a top 10 running back. One of the things that will slow me down on Javonte, it's not Melvin Gordon, it's Russell Wilson. We can't talk about, well, last year's coaching staff, it's a completely different staff, without talking about what this year's coaching staff is going to do. We all think that they're going to let Russ do his thing and put up the type of passing attempt numbers that Seattle may not have let Russ do in the first place. That means fewer rushes for everybody in Denver. So that could hurt both guys, both Javonte and Melvin Gordon. But I think Javonte I think he's got way more upside. I'm not ready to draft. I'm ready to take Chubb ahead of Javonte in non-PPR. But if catches count, I think I'd rather have Javonte. And I think that Aaron Jones comes very close to those two guys. But I'm worried about it's still an incomplete on what this offense is going to look like in Green Bay. And do they really try and run it a lot with Jones and Dillon and limit Aaron Rodgers? That sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. So Heath, go ahead. Yeah, you fired up.
I just don't.
Heath's ready to slap me.
Javonte 100% has a lot more upside over what he was than those guys do. I would agree with that. He has much more room for growth to be better than he was last year. But I don't understand how Javonte Williams could have more upside than Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones has been a perennial top 12 running back last year, which I think probably on a per game basis was his worst in the last three because he only scored four rushing touchdowns. He was 25% better than Javonte Williams.
Sure.
And last year was not Aaron Jones' upside. Last year was kind of his floor over the last 3 years.
Okay, so I would say that if you wanted to make the case that Javonte Williams has the most upside, you would say your case would be there's basically no way A.J. Dillon doesn't have a significant role, and you're much more convinced that Melvin Gordon might just have a very complimentary role, not a very small complimentary role, not significant. I'm just saying, I'm not saying I believe this. If you're making that case, you think that the A.J. Dillon's role is significantly bigger than Melvin Gordon's this year.
And that could be the case if Melvin Gordon falls off. But I think it's worthwhile just to say this out loud, despite the size of A.J. Dillon's quads, we have seen no evidence that he is a better NFL running back than Melvin Gordon. He's done nothing to say that he's a better NFL running back than Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, right. I guess so. But but your gut tells you that if you had a bet on one guy this year, you'd take AJ Dillon over Melvin Gordon, wouldn't you?
It's certainly more fun to think about what the young guy could be.
Well, he's pretty good, I think. I mean,
I think he is, yeah. So is freaking Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, it's just, you just wonder why he wasn't valued that way. I mean, if
he's 29 years old.
Yeah, exactly. I know, but if AJ Dillon had been a free agent,
his one-year
deal would be much bigger than Melvin Gordon's, I would think, if you were only signing him to a one-year deal.
Yeah, I really have no idea if AJ Dillon was a free agent, what his what teams would pay for him.
Yeah. Well, we will never know.
I mean, we might know in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Like almost every team in the NFL passed on him twice 2 years ago.
All right. So let's see who wins this Twitter poll. Who has the most upside in PPR? Aaron Jones, Javonte Williams, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley. Only 53 votes in right now. We'll see how it goes. Who has the most upside in PPR?
Why'd you throw Saquon in there? The C results would have been a much better option than Saquon Barkley.
I don't think so. I mean, Saquon Barkley has the backfield to himself. I took three tandems and Barkley. They're all going to be drafted in the same range. This was a brilliant Twitter poll. It was actually a really terrible Twitter poll until I put Saquon Barkley in there. It was the best thing I've done all morning, including the delicious oatmeal that I made.
I would believe it's the best thing you've done all morning. I would disagree with everything else you said about it.
I've done a lot. Thank you very much. Okay, so we are giving away a spot in the 2022 Listeners League. To win, fill out the form in the episode description with your prediction of the top 10 picks of the NFL draft. You don't have to tell us the team, just the name of the player and which pick that player will be selected with. Whoever is closest to the exact order gets the spot. Remember, the link is in the episode description. Entries close Thursday night at 8 p.m. You can take your time, but get those in before 8 p.m. on Thursday and spell the names correctly or you will not be rewarded. Other news and notes. By the way, today's a mailbag. Emails, tweets, and Apple Podcast questions. News and notes. Darren Waller will not be traded, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. Carolina, this one, I mean, I read the article and I couldn't believe it. Carolina does not consider Jimmy Garoppolo to be much of an upgrade from Sam Darnold, according to ESPN's David Newton.
They have to say that.
I do not consider the Panthers to be very good at evaluating quarterbacks.
That better not be true. Philadelphia is open to fielding offers for Jalen Reagor, according to ESPN's Tim McManus.
Like, don't you think the Panthers have to say things like that after they gave up what they gave up to get Darnold in the first place?
I don't know. It doesn't matter because they've basically just, they've made it clear they're drafting a quarterback. So, right? Wasn't that the Panthers who said, like,
at some point they will, yes.
Yeah. The Giants are unlikely to trade Kadarius Toney in the near future, according to NFL Network's Mike Garafolo.
So it worked. They let it out. They aired the laundry in the media and said, well, we're going to trade him. He's not here. And then he showed up pretty quickly.
Matt Rhule has to have a 500 season this year or he's not going to have a job anymore, right?
500. I think he's got to make the playoffs.
Like 9-8 would probably get it done. Maybe 10-7.
500.
I don't know.
You're not getting there with Sam Darnold. I'm going to do something I've done many years over the past, and I haven't had a chance to do it for a few months.
Smoke a brisket.
Cam Newton's their best chance to get there.
Oh boy.
He's certainly their most cost-effective option. They could use their draft capital on other positions.
Kenny Pickett or Malik Willis are not going to save Matt Rhule's job this year.
I don't know if there is a saving of Matt Rhule's job, which makes me wonder. Actually, makes me honestly believe 100% that he's not going to be the one making this pick and that it's going to be the GM who's supposed to make the picks anyway, unless the coach is really good. He's going to be the one doing what's best for the franchise long term. They're not going to pick Kenny Pickett because Matt Rhule wants him. They're going to pick Pickett because they think he's their guy long term. Same thing with Willis.
I wonder why Baker Mayfield.
What they really need to do is trade down.
How does Baker Mayfield fit into this? Or Garoppolo, I suppose. I mean, look, if I were the Panthers, I would do what I was talking about yesterday. I would just tank for next year. So, in other words, let Darnold be the quarterback. But, Mayfield and Garoppolo are certainly better options than Cam Newton, but they are obviously more expensive.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
There's news that just came out.
Oh, yeah. Good. The Jaguars have reached an agreement. This is according to Ian Rappaport. Reached an agreement in principle on a contract extension for Cam Robinson, their current left tackle.
Mm-hmm. Which probably means they're not going to take an offensive tackle at one.
Why, though? If we think the Jets and Giants could both take offensive tackles, and the Texans, for that matter, all three of them have left tackles.
Needs, sure.
Right. They could, and all three of them are in the. So I don't think this changes anything for the Jaguars, right? I mean, they could still go with a tackle.
I think the Jaguar. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I think Dave was probably right. All the teams.
Well, nobody thinks they're going to take one anyway. Everybody thinks they're going to take Trayvon Walker. But I don't think having one good tackle precludes you from taking another, is what I'm saying. Because we don't think that it precludes the Texans, Jets, or Giants. Whether the Jets and Giants have a good time, whether the Jets specifically have a good tackle is unclear, but they do hopefully believe that in Mekhi Becton. All right. And Cam Robinson's not that great, right? He's not like a franchise
Well, but they
player.
Seem to think so if they're extending him.
They think he's worth extending. I don't know. Well, we'll have to see the contract details. How about the Ja Morant dunk last night, guys?
Awesome. The Woo! Jawbreaker.
That was incredible.
Yeah. Oh,
God.
It's the playoffs have been pretty fantastic.
Well, says the Celtics.
Says the guy whose team swept away the Brooklyn Nets.
So I didn't even mention it yesterday because I knew Adam was probably hurting a little bit from watching his Nets lose.
I was thrilled.
It's Nets.
But, you know, it was a fun series. I was just thinking, man, imagine someone watching only that series and then you telling them that Kevin Durant's one of the best players in basketball.
Yeah. It wasn't good. And Heath and I argued about who's better between Curry and Durant, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And to me, I mean, it's clearly Durant.
It's quite obviously Curry.
It's quite obviously Durant, but he didn't help. And also, one of the arguments I made against Curry being, you know, in that echelon is he, you know, you would never, if you had a player as good as Durant, you would never have a bad team that like barely made the playoffs and then, or didn't make the playoffs. And right. then,
that happened this year.
LeBron James. It happened with LeBron. I mean, with their record with Durant in the lineup was sensational, and their record without him was not good at all. So that
Dave's
was the reason
because we're talking basketball.
But then LeBron James didn't make the playoffs, so that just like killed my argument. So that's a all right. Dave's gone, I guess. Dave, I had another question for you before we got into the mailbag. Would you rather have a chili dog or a corn dog?
Oh, finally, something that I can be an expert in. Chili dog.
Heath?
Could you maybe, and I'm just thinking here.
See results?
Nobody steal this idea.
Okay.
Could we get a hot dog inside of like a cornbread, like a corn dog, right?
Yeah.
But with a layer of chili between them.
Ooh. What would we call it?
I don't know. Maybe dip it in some
angioplasty.
Cheese. Dip it in some cheese.
The Heath, we'll call it. Yeah, this is good. But oh, you didn't answer the question, but that's fine.
Chili dog.
Chili dog. Okay. I would absolutely eat it.
All right, here are some Apple Podcast questions. You can always leave us a nice 5-star review with a question. This is from Adam from the City of Destiny. What do you suppose that is?
The City of Destiny.
Cleveland?
Doesn't seem like it.
Hmm.
That seems a little like a more optimistic title than I would expect for Cleveland.
Tacoma,
yes.
Tacoma.
Don't know a thing about Tacoma. I believe they may have had an indoor soccer team at one time.
Sure. And I think
it's got taco in its name. How bad of a city can it be?
Actually, Tacoma is where they invented the chili dog, the corn dog with a layer of chili dipped in cheese.
You're just one comma away from Taco Ma.
All right, dear Mikey Mouth, Data, and Brand.
Goonies.
Dynasty trade. He's never seen Goonies, I bet. Dynasty trade question. PPR league, 1 QB. Give up McCaffrey and pick 204. Get Marquise Brown, pick 102 and 202. I also have Michael Carter, J.K. Dobbins, Elijah Mitchell, and some backups. And looks like he has a decent receiving core. So it's a PPR league. He gives up Christian McCaffrey and pick 204. He gets Marquise Brown, pick 102, and pick 202.
I always like to let Dave have the first say on these while I look at the trade chart and see what I think I should say.
Right. I would imagine the trade chart will still have McCaffrey valued higher than Brown and 102. I would consider 102 to be either Breece Hall or Ken Walker. I like the idea of having a rookie running back plus Marquise Brown. That gives you some really incredible depth at wide receiver and running back without necessarily having that star player. And you move up two spots from 204 to 202. If you're not willing to trust Christian McCaffrey anymore and you want to get out now, I think this is just barely enough to make it work.
I've got it as a strong win. Dave forgot about my Marquise Brown love, I think. I've got it as a strong win for the 102 and Marquise Brown side.
All right, next Apple Podcast question comes from Drew Ba. Dear Tommy, Arthur, Finn, and John. I do think Heath knows this one.
Yeah.
Tommy, Arthur, Finn, and John.
Those are, what's the name of that show? It's going to drive me crazy now. It's a great, great show. The gangsters in, I believe it's is Ireland?
I thought it was Scotland. London. It was not London?
They definitely are in London for a period of time. They fight in a variety of different places.
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders. Yeah. Dang it. That's a great show.
One of the leagues I'm in, the quarterbacks come off the board super early, like two or three in the first round this past year. By the late fourth or fifth round, there are only quarterback scraps left. Should I chase QB or just stick with the fifth or sixth round strategy and hope to stream well throughout the season? For reference, this league is PPR, 4 point per passing touchdown.
When I've been in leagues like this, I never follow the crowd. I just wait till I get a good value at quarterback, and I almost always feel great about it every time.
It's really dependent on how quickly and how aggressively they gobble up those secondary quarterbacks, I think. If it's a league where everybody else is carrying two all the time and some guys are carrying three sometimes, then I'd probably be more willing to follow the crowd. But as long as you think there's going to be 10 to 12 quarterbacks in the waiver wire each week, then that's good.
I mean, I feel like these are the leagues where you can really have an edge after draft day, and then you still have that edge if you're streaming quarterback, because everybody else has a quarterback that they reach for. They're not going to want to give up on them. They're not going to go chase, someone that comes out of nowhere. Mac Jones comes out of nowhere and has a good first few weeks of the season. You're going to be one of the only few in the league that can go and get him.
Well,
but if you started Mac Jones all year last year, you were 8 points worse than everybody else.
No, I understand that Mac Jones isn't the best example from last year. I'm saying that what if he catches on a little bit more this year? Right.
Or
Belichick's on the plays now. They're going to throw the ball 80 times a game.
Hey, if you're watching on YouTube, by the way, I will read your comments. We'll do Apple Podcasts, tweets, emails, and then YouTube at the end. I appreciate you being here. I see your questions. I will get to them, I promise.
Also, I'm doing a Dynasty mailbag today, and I don't have enough questions on Twitter. So if you want to send us some Dynasty questions, I'll do that too.
Cool. All right, but I think with this question, I'm going to ask you guys. How many quarterbacks in your rankings, how deep in your rankings can you go and feel good about your starter? That's the most important thing here, right? I mean, if 18 quarterbacks come off the board in the first four or five rounds, then you need to be part of that. Yeah.
I got you.
15.
15.
I'm at 16.
16. Okay.
I'm at 15, and I'm not including Lance, Fields, Winston, or Lawrence, those guys who could make the leap. I don't feel good about them as my definite starter. So I've got 15 guys besides them.
All right, this is from Ben. Dear Dutch, Dylan, Blaine, Mac, and Billy. Come on, guys.
Yeah, I don't.
I know. Heath, I'm not even. It's okay. Dave, you got to know this. Dutch, Dylan, Blaine, Mac, and Billy?
Mm-mm.
Predator. Jeez. All right, 12-team, half PPR, three receivers, one flex. I'm the reigning champ. I'm looking to get younger while still competing, so grade the trade. Give up Davante Adams and Rashad Penny. Get back Jerry Jeudy, Cam Akers, and pick 203 in this upcoming rookie draft. Davante Adams and Rashad Penny for Jeudy, Akers, and pick 203.
You'll accomplish your goal of getting younger. And I definitely, it's a 12-team league, so we're talking about pick 15 overall in the rookie draft coming in. Should still be able to get a good, in quotes, good receiver or running back there. I don't think I'm ready to do it yet because I think Devontae could have a really good year.
It's a, you know, if Judy has a huge season, then it'll look great.
But. Yeah, that's going to look bad. Or Akers, or if Akers has a huge season.
Yeah. What do you think, Heath?
Yeah, I would do it. I would take Akers and Judy over Adams and Penny. So the 203 is just kind of a cherry on top.
Okay.
I guess I'm just a little scared about Akers not being what he once was and Judy not ever being what I thought he'd be.
Let's take a quick break on Fantasy Football Today. We still have your emails, your tweets, and your YouTube comments to get to and updating the Twitter polls right after this on FFT.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Apartments.com has helped millions of renters find their perfect places. And the beauty is, they're all different. None of us are the same. So why should our homes be? Someone may want hardwood floors. Someone else may say carpet all the way. Questionable call, but hey, to each their own. Some may want a doorman. Others may say, I can open the door myself. But Apartments.com has all the right tools to help you find the place that's uniquely perfect for you. Sort through and filter listings by amenities. And make sure you never miss out with their instant alert option. With more than 1 million available units for rent, you're sure to find the place that's right for you. So whether you're looking for a place with a basement, a yard, a pool, or everything in between, Apartments.com has got you covered. Visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Welcome back to the show. We are a day away from the NFL draft. We are very excited. Let's take a look at the Twitter polls here that we talked about earlier today. Now that Melvin Gordon is back with the Broncos, when are you drafting Javonte Williams in a 12-team league? We're up to 604 votes, and about 49% are on round three. So,
are there still more people after round three than before?
Yes.
That is shocking to me.
I don't know. I don't think he's... I put round one or two, but I could have easily just done round two. I doubt anybody's taking him in round one now. That really shock you that more people would wait till round four or five than round two?
I don't think he's ever going to fall past round three.
Not in most leagues. And
I'm going to be shocked if he starts going in round three. I really am.
Who has the most upside in PPR? Aaron Jones, Javonte Williams, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley. Aaron Jones, 33%. Javonte, 26%. Barkley, 24%. Chubb, 17%. Okay. Great Twitter poll. Here are some tweets from Gregory Dollins. Who should I keep? Half PPR? No, sorry. Full PPR, half point per completion.
Ooh.
Patrick Mahomes, Austin Eckler, AJ Brown, Jerry Jeudy, or Travis Etienne. And it is three, you keep three here. So I'll eliminate Etienne. Mahomes, Eckler, AJ Brown, Jerry Jeudy, pick three.
Eckler and AJ Brown are the easies.
Okay, so Dave is keeping Mahomes, Eckler, and Brown. Heath is keeping Eckler, Brown, and
I think I'd keep Mahomes too. Yep.
Okay. From Caleb Johnson, 10-team half PPR keeper league, keep three. Javonte Williams in round six, T. Higgins in round seven, Antonio Gibson in round nine, Elijah Mitchell in round eight, and Cam Akers in round eight. Again, it's 10-team half PPR. Everybody's picks from round six through nine. Javonte Williams in round six. T. Higgins round seven. Antonio Gibson in nine. Elijah Mitchell and Cam Akers are round eight picks. Pick three.
Javonte's a must at round six. What are you laughing at that for? You don't think he's a must in round six?
I was really struggling between Akers and Javonte.
I think Antonio Gibson is... I feel like it really depends
on what happens in the draft with Washington.
I bet they don't draft somebody as good as Melvin Gordon.
Okay. They I hope they don't either because I want to see Antonio Gibson roll. For now, it's Gibson with Williams, and I think I'd take Akers third. Tough to throw back any of these guys. They all have great value, but pretty sure I would draft Akers ahead of Higgins and Mitchell.
Yeah, I've got it Gibson, Mitchell, and I'll go Javonte as the third one.
Okay, from Chris Pohl 75. Which pick is more valuable? Pick 106 this year or a random rookie 2023 first round pick? So this
what
is
type
I've been
of league
about
are
this,
we talking?
I've been talking about this a lot the last couple of days.
I would take I believe 2023 first.
Me too.
With the asterisk that I don't really believe it's totally random. Like, I think you can look at this person's roster and you're probably not totally random. Right. Like if it's one of the real contenders in the league, then I'd take the sixth pick this year. But other than that, I'm taking.
I would take the sixth pick this year if it's a one quarterback league and the first round pick is going to be, like Heath said, toward the back half, maybe the back third of the first round next year. If it's a super flex league or a 2QB league, I'm taking that first. I don't care where it is.
Right.
That draft next year is going to be deep and it's going to have a lot of good quarterbacks in it.
All right, this is from Matt. If you're an all-in team with no picks next year, how valuable is a late rounder in this year's rookie draft? I guess it's a late first rounder. Yeah. The example would be pick 109 this year, 1.9, or DeAndre Hopkins.
This is exactly the kind of trade that both teams should be making.
I agree.
If you're a contender, go get Hopkins. If you're rebuilding, go get the 109.
From Joe A., if Rodgers has Lazard and Amari Rodgers, why are they both being drafted after round 12 in Dynasty Startup Leagues? Rodgers has a history of not targeting rookies, so even if they draft a wide receiver, you can't assume they'd outproduce Alan Lazard.
Are you forgetting about Sammy Watkins?
That's a guy who got signed and immediately was speculated that he was going to get cut, by the way.
Yes.
And Randall Cobb?
I think a lot of people are going
Robert
to
Tunyon.
Immediately assume that a first round wide receiver is going to outproduce Alan Lazard. Maybe we're wrong, but that assumption is going to be made. But should we be paying more attention to Amari Rodgers and Alan Lazard in Dynasty?
Lazard should go before round 12 in a Dynasty, but I'm thinking it should be like round 10, not round 6 or something like that. And Amari Rodgers couldn't break out last year. And I don't know how much of a chance he'll get this year if the Packers are going to stack on more receivers. I don't know if Lazard's going to be... I don't know if Lazard's really been good. From week to week, he's been okay. But that's what he is in fantasy. I don't think he's ever going to develop into a solid starting fantasy receiver. Unless the Packers just blow past all the wideouts in this draft and they say, okay, Lazard's our wide receiver one. In that case, then sure, maybe he's got a shot.
Mm-hmm. I have them both back-to-back in my Dynasty wide receiver rankings. I'm part of the problem, apparently, because I've got them at wide receiver 71 and wide receiver 72. That would not be a pick in the first 10 rounds for either one.
Do you have the rankings in front of you right now?
I do.
Can you name off the five names in front of Alan Lazard?
Russell Gage.
Agreed.
KJ Osborne.
I don't know.
Tim Patrick. Jalen Rager.
I don't know yet.
Brian Edwards.
Okay. I would definitely take Lazard ahead of Edwards, and I think I would take him ahead of Rager, and I love Jalen Rager, but it just looks like it's not happening. Adam already talked about how they were going to possibly trade him. It's going to come down to what the Packers do in the draft, and frankly, what the Vikings do in the draft too when it comes to Lazard versus Osborne. But Gage I would take ahead of Alan Lazard. He's young.
All right, let's finish up the tweets. From Steve, Dynasty PPR. Should I pick a quarterback in this 2022 rookie class or stream 1 year with Brady or Rivers? I don't know why you included him, but let's just say Brady. Maybe he meant Rodgers. And pick a quarterback next year.
Pick the quarterback next year.
Yeah. From Root, will/can the Dolphins have 3 1,000-yard pass catchers this year? Tyreek Hill at 1,400, Jalen Waddle 1,200, Mike Gesicki 1,050 yards.
Definite no.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Not at all.
From Jeffrey, where are we drafting Allen Robinson this year?
I don't think I am right now because he keeps going before I want to take him.
Where would you like to take him?
I need to pull that up because, like I said, there's never a time when he's the best wide receiver on the board for me.
I'm ready to start thinking about him in late round five.
Ooh. I didn't think
I was thinking 6-7, I think. I've got him in round 7.
He's in the right place.
Okay.
And then this is a team in the Rams where I don't think they're going to add a receiver in the draft that's going to compromise the type of target upside that he has. I think he's got a shot at 120 targets.
But my concern is, what if they bring back Beckham?
Well, if they bring back Beckham, at least Robinson, it would lower him out of that range for me. I'd probably put him closer to the late round 6. He'd drop a round if they bring back Odell. But Robinson would still be able to get you off to a hot start because I don't think Odell will be ready to go for the beginning of the year.
Okay, this now it's time for our emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Matt from the retirement community of Morty and Helen Seinfeld.
Boca del Vista.
No, Del Boca Vista, I thought.
Del Boca Vista. It's been a long time.
10-team Superflex Dynasty. I'm the definition of all in. I lost in the championship last year with a McCaffrey team. I'm now 0-6 in championship games in 10 years. Wow. Oh. This offseason, I traded for Mahomes, Kelsey, and Kupp. And yesterday, I just traded away my final asset with virtually no picks this year. I traded the 109. I wonder if this is the same person. I traded the 109 for DeAndre Hopkins and the 207.
Both guys' names are Matt. So, yes, I do believe this is the same guy. And that was a good trade.
Okay, good job. This is from, no name or city, Dave. Help me out.
It's going to be Jameson from St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, you didn't know?
Hey, Hunter, Billy, Jesse, and X.
Your ass better call somebody!
I said Elijah Moore was a big trade. Okay, he said Elijah Moore and every pick he has this year, which is two first rounders, 107 and 110, plus 210 and 410. So Elijah Moore, 107, 110, 210, and 410 for Kyle Pitts and a 2023 third round pick. It just came off a championship, and my team is pretty stacked all around, especially at quarterback and wide receiver. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's good to be charitable and to give back. You know, it should fill your heart and make you feel good about yourself when you do charitable things like give away two first round picks, a potential high upside receiver in Elijah Moore for Kyle Pitts and a third round pick next year. I mean, it's kind. Mother Teresa would be proud.
I always say that you need to add a 10% premium for every additional asset that someone's throwing into the trade. So like a 2-for-1 deal, you should get 10% more in the trade chart than you should in a 1-for-1 deal. And a 3-for-1 deal, you should get 20% more. So if we consider this to be a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 2 deal, so 30% more than Kyle Pitts' value, that would mean that you would need to get about 45 points on the trade chart. I think you're giving away 87 points.
Oof.
Here's how it's better. Let's eliminate the second and third and fourth round picks and make it Elijah Moore, 107, 110 for Kyle Pitts.
Okay.
Let's say Elijah Moore becomes DJ Moore. What we've seen of DJ Moore. So like a top 20-ish wide receiver. Uh-huh. And 107 and 110... One of those is also like a top 20 wide receiver, like Elijah Moore. And the other one is just
you're making it worse here,
Pitts is Travis Kelce, the number one tight end for the next 5 years.
Then, so you're giving up three DJ Moores for one Travis Kelce.
Yeah, then I think it's justifiable if your team is loaded.
It is not justifiable.
Yeah, it is. You're getting the best player by far in the deal. You're getting a first round player for like three fourth or fifth round players. That's the only way this works, I guess. I don't know why I went into that. All right, this is from...
But let's face it, the only way that trade works is if Pitts is great and Elijah Moore stinks.
I mean, the trade could look a lot better as early as tomorrow night at like 8:30.
If they draft a wide receiver?
Right.
I guess, but if Elijah Moore is as good as you say and he shouldn't be traded, then drafting a wide receiver shouldn't affect his value that much. If he's that good, then he should be able to succeed regardless of what the Jets do.
Yes, succeed, but I think he would lose his top 12 upside.
Okay. This is from Chili Dog. This question, by the way, inspired my previous food question. Chili Dog says, hey, Dale, Hank, Bill, and Boomhauer.
I really never got into the cartoon TV shows.
Yeah, this was a funny show.
I believe you. Yeah.
King of the Hill. I got Cooper Kupp in the third as one keeper, but I'm stuck on the second. Should I take Aaron Jones in the 16th or Tyreek Hill in the second? It's Jones.
It's Jones. Yeah.
Okay, this is from...
the person with the smallest font in the history of the universe.
Patrick from the Bold City. Where's the Bold City?
I think it's Cleveland.
Okay. Well, they type really small in Cleveland. He says, hey, Llewellyn, Anton, and Ed.
I should know that one.
Yeah, this is No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
You've seen it?
Yeah,
it's one of my favorites. I'm in a 12-team PPR Superflex Dynasty League with no kicker or defense. 10 bench spots. I can't even read this. It's so small.
It's so small.
Hold on. I have to increase the font.
I found out where Bold City really is.
We're at Times New Roman 6.5 font there. Where's Bold City?
It is the same city as the team that has the number one pick in the 2022 NFL draft.
Huh.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that. All right. So this is a startup dynasty draft. It was not a snake draft, and he had the 12th pick. That sucks. But he has 101, and he has 105 and 111. So he's got three first rounders and extra firsts in 2023 and 2024. So he's got a ton of first round picks.
Awesome.
That's good.
So he'll get one of the stud rookie running backs and one of the top four receivers.
He's going to take Breece Hall and then doubling down on receiver with my other picks and just going best available in the third round. What is the question here? Should I continue to sell off some of my current roster to set up for next year or hold steady and let the season play out? His starting lineup would be Aaron Rodgers, Najee Harris, DeAndre Swift. Bad at wide receiver, though, like really bad. Kyle Pitts at tight end, and then Christian Kirk. Not good at wide receiver. But it's interesting. He has the pieces to win now if he could just get a wide receiver, Heath, or a couple.
Well, I think he needs probably however many wide receivers he needs to start. That's how many wide receivers he's short of a good team. And this is probably a good time to reference. This is exactly the opposite of how I like to rebuild. I want the young wide receivers, and I'll figure out running back at the end. So it's an interesting spot that you're in. I would probably be trying, especially in a super flex league, you really ought to be able to get a haul for Aaron Rodgers. And so that would probably be the piece that I would be trying to move. He talks about the class next year, and he's going to have multiple picks. He's still got Fields and Winston that he can roll with this year. I'd be dealing Aaron Rodgers, and I don't really see enough. Like, if you could get something really good for Christian Kirk, I'd do that too.
Do you think you could get a couple of startable receivers for Jameis Winston and the 11th pick in the rookie draft? Is there a team in the league that is so beat up at quarterback that they would love to have Jameis? And you could pull off two of their receivers for 111, Jameis, and maybe you throw in, I don't know how much excitement there is for Tony these days. A week ago, I would have said Tony.
I'm just wondering what picks you can get for Rodgers, Winston, and even...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, let's just stockpile...
I don't think you're going to get much for anybody but Rodgers.
All right, let's move on here. From Jared. Dear Dave, Barry, Bill, and Wade... don't know them. This is from a city east of Albuquerque and west of Oklahoma City.
I'll go with El Paso, Texas.
Great.
I feel like that there's some sort of a Cowboys, former Cowboys coaches thing going on.
Oh,
Dave Campo,
Barry, Will, and Wade.
Bill Parcells, Wade Phillips.
Barry Switzer.
Barry Switzer. Yeah. That's who I was.
All right, keep
I
one.
I had the face. I didn't have the name.
Keep one. Jonathan Taylor in round 2. T. Higgins in round 6. Javonte Williams in round 7. Jaylen Waddle in round 9. Rashad Penny in round 16.
Keep one?
Yeah.
Tough, huh? Alex, it's got to be one of the running backs.
It's not tough.
I think it's Taylor.
Yeah, it has to be Taylor, right?
Yeah, even like I hate the fact that the round 2 is pick 11.
Yeah, it's the first pick in round 2, but you're getting an edge.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, what do you think before the Melvin Gordon signing that Javonte Williams at pick 70 would have been your pick?
Okay. My guess is I think I would have said wait until after the draft to make this decision. And if the Broncos only add a cursory running back on day 3, then you can make the case that Javonte Williams in round 7 is best. Does he say how long he can keep these guys for?
I think it's just 1 year.
Okay. If it's just 1 year, then it's Taylor.
All right. This is from Pete in Hazlitt, which is apparently in New Jersey. I'm looking to rebuild. I've been offered in 2 separate deals. My Travis Etienne for pick 111 in the rookie draft, or my Derek Carr for a 2023 first round pick. I already have picks 104 and 110, by the way. And it's super flex.
If you can handle losing Carr, you should make that trade for the first round pick.
The host of the Locked On Falcons podcast says it is unfathomable that the Falcons could take a wide receiver at number 8.
Interesting.
Remember like 36 hours ago when Garrett Wilson was like penciled into the Falcons in everybody's drafts?
Yeah.
It's been a wild week.
I gave them Jameson Williams. I said, everybody, I feel like consensus is, well, if he didn't have the torn ACL, he'd be my number one. So if you're a team that's not going to compete this year, just take the guy who's would be number one.
I've really been thinking, like, we've expected the Falcons to take probably a quarterback and a running back and a wide receiver, or at least 2 of the 3. If they don't use that 8th pick on a quarterback, a running back, or a wide receiver, man, that offense is going to be awful.
They just need good players.
Well, Heath, I'll say if they use that pick on a quarterback,
it's still going to be bad.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you probably don't expect much from rookie quarterbacks to begin with, and this is a bad rookie class. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to transform their offense. Not this year.
I mean, you could convince me that Malik Willis and Breece Hall could just turn them into a really good running team.
How are they going to get? If they took Hall in the second round, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you meant with the first picks, but yeah, okay, that makes sense. All right, YouTube, thanks for hanging in there. If you already asked a question, please ask it again. I don't think I'm going to be able to scroll up and down in the chat. So I know one of them was Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson. Who do you like? So you can go ahead and answer that one. And for those of you watching on YouTube, there are 186 of you right now. Please fire away with your questions. We'll finish the mailbag with our faithful YouTubers with some questions. So guys, Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson?
Jefferson, especially if full PPR.
I'm sorry, redraft Jefferson.
Jefferson. Okay. All right. Questions? Anyone? Questions? You've got 30 seconds before I end the show. Dave and I had a funny text message exchange yesterday.
Okay.
We did?
Yeah. Dave said, turn on TNT for a surprise.
This was
2 o'clock. And then he gave me movie quotes. I said, was it Taken? Because it wasn't Taken. He said, they're for my wife. Sure. She's pregnant. And I was like, God, I know that movie. What is that movie? And then I said, how have I not figured this out? And then he gave me another quote. No, sir, you couldn't drag me away. I didn't get it. I couldn't figure it out. And then I said, give me one more quote. If this is their idea of Christmas, I got to be here for New Year's. And I finally got it, Dave. And what bothers me is I said, all right, it's a Christmas movie. What could it be?
How right you were.
It's Die Hard only because of the Christmas quote, but in my mind, I called it a Christmas movie. I betrayed everything I've said for the last 12 years. All right, now we do finally have some questions. Let's see. What should I expect to get for Dalvin Cook in Dynasty?
I mean, I think you should expect a first round pick and maybe a little more.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm not, you're not getting the 101 for him. At least not from me.
You might be able to get the 101 and something else for him from an unsuspecting doofus.
You should give him to the team that drafts James Cook. In the rookie draft, you know, so unite them. Any word on Julio Jones?
Might be the Vikings that take him.
Maybe. Any word on Julio Jones landing spots from Jake?
Ask after the draft. My guess is that team that misses on a receiver, a big receiver, will kick the tires on Julio then.
Maybe he's the number one in Green Bay.
I'd love that. That'd be so fun. But if they took Julio, if they draft somebody in the first round and then sign Julio, it would piss me off so much. I would bother me.
Why, you just draft the rookie
over one of the 10 best receivers of all time? I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. All right, that's a good hypothetical. Treylon Burks or Julio Jones? They're both on the Packers by next week.
I don't know if you get points. I'm taking Burks.
Weren't we just discussing like 20 minutes ago whether a rookie wide receiver would beat out Alan Lazard?
Yeah.
I'm going to take Julio.
Oh, were we talking about that?
We were.
I'm taking the rookie
who I think can last, you know, 17 weeks.
Yeah. All right. Gino is deciding on his keeper. Devontae Smith in the fifth, Jerry Jeudy in the fifth, Chris Godwin in the third.
I hope you don't have to decide that one.
I think can he keep two? How are you interpreting this? That's a little and or here.
I'm deciding on my 1 year keeper, singular.
Right.
Keeper.
Devontae Smith or Jeudy for a fifth and or Godwin for a third. All right, rank them.
Godwin, Jeudy Smith.
I think that's right, but I'd like to wait as long as possible and see how Godwin's health's doing.
Okay. From John Smith, which side would you choose? AJ Brown and pick 309 or Cortland Sutton, pick 106 and 406 in Superflex tight end premium?
Brown.
Javante from Phillip. Javante in the fifth or Akers in the 14th?
Akers.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait till the last minute to decide. If Akers has glowing reports, it's him.
From Greg, Marquise Brown and a 2022 third round pick or TJ Hockenson?
I'm
pretty sure I have Marquise Brown. Yeah, I have him ahead of Hockenson.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have Hockenson there.
This is a silly question, but you're assuming this is a third round rookie pick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I was as well, just making sure. And let's read one or two more if we got it. A lot of cursing here in the chat. Come on, guys.
Wow.
There are kids.
Like about me?
No.
Or Dave?
No. About football, I guess. Yeah. Just. I don't care. Say whatever the hell you want. From Natan, half PPR keeper Dobbins in the 10th or Elijah Mitchell in the 10th?
There's another one where we'd like to wait as long as possible to make that decision, yes. But I'm going to hope it's Dobbins.
I'm going to hope it's Dobbins too, but Mitchell's probably going to be where you land.
Okay, Dan G says, read mine.
Thanks, Dan.
Please. Send it again, Dan. I can't find it, so through all this cursing here. Can't find your question. Oh, is Kelsey a first-round pick? There you go.
He is not.
I don't think so.
Okay. Is he a top 20 pick?
Yes.
Is he a top 19 pick?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. He is.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. All of your tweets, your emails, Apple Podcasts, your YouTube comments. You help make this show awesome. Very, very appreciative. Thank you so much. The next time we speak to you, we're going to have some rookies on teams. It's going to be awesome, unless there's breaking news, and we'll talk to you before that. But plan on something like midnight or 1 a.m. on Thursday/Friday morning. We'll recap round one. For Dave and Heath, I'm Adam. Have a great day, everybody.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.